Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, I want to welcome everybody to Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and tonight we're going to be talking about Tuesdays with Maury. And boy, if you've never heard of the book, you've never heard of Maury, we've got a lot to talk about. And I'm going to go ahead and bring my co-host on, Miss Amy Frost. How are you doing tonight, Miss Amy?
Well, I'm excited because who knew Tuesdays with Robin? Now we're going to really expand
it.
Tuesdays with Maury.
Oy vey, I can be like Maury.
I know.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I've been doing Tuesdays for what? Oh, we're going on 7 years now, so that's exciting.
Right, so
you know.
So there you go. It took me a while to get on.
Yeah, exactly. That's
so,
all right. Woo, you got on the tamale train, yeah.
Amen. So I said, I'm really excited to do this half hour, and definitely I want to get people all over the country reading this book and coming together and having conversations about it. There's so much amazing stuff in here, but I think the main thing is I want people to get the book, do it themselves, do it with a friend. And so let's kind of frame, how do you want to lead into this? You want to talk about how this whole came about?
Yeah, how it all came about, too, and just kind of a sideline with you talking about that, about actually making it a, you know, it could be a cafe book or depending on what we want to do with it and maybe for next year. But I've heard stories with this because, you know, I've been watching some of the stuff they have on YouTube. Oprah's done some a couple different interviews with the author, which is, where is its name?
Oh, well, that's Mitch Albin. But let me just frame it real quick and then you jump in as you feel called. Yeah, so he, Mitch was a student of Maury, and he... The title really, so that's the book, but the subtitle is An Old Man, a Young Man, and Life Lessons. And what ended up happening was that when it talks about how he was graduating, I mean, the story is just really beautifully written, and it really is a true story. But he talks about the book starts out with how he's at graduation, and he sees Maury Schwartz, and he says, graduation day robe, he looks like a cross between a biblical prophet and a Christmas elf. And how he really felt like this man really, really, you know, adored him, and he always, you know, challenged him. And he talked about how I definitely, you know, he said no, and he called him coach. And he said that he would come, he said, Mitch, you know, please make sure that you come back and see me. You're a very special, very special person. And he promised he would. And then 15 years go by, and Mitch sees Maury on Dateline, and to find out that he's dying, he has a terminal illness. And so then he decides that he's gonna, and this is, he lives like 700 miles away, so he goes to visit him. You know, feeling out of, you know, guilt or whatever. And then as he gets there, he realizes what he's missed, and he wants to try to find a way to make up for it. I don't know if make up for it is really the right word, but what Maury says to him is that he really wants to finish this out. So I want to read from the curriculum and starting the book, and it says, the last class of my old professor's life took place once a week in his house by a window in the study where he could watch a small hibiscus plant shed its pink leaves. The class met on Tuesdays. It began after breakfast. The subject was the meaning of life. It was taught from experience. And so for 14 Tuesdays, he would fly and come spend the day with him. And he promised him that he would make sure that, you know, that the world, you know, got this wisdom. And the reason that he wrote the book was for to pay for the horrendous medical bills. So that is how it started.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that's really cool about that is that, you know, Maury was a sociologist, and so his perspective on life already was really gifted in being able to look at, you know, personal behaviors and why that was. He was actually a professor at Brandeis. So, you know, he really, that's one thing that he said is that these meetings that he would have with him, these get-togethers on Tuesdays, he literally created like a mini class just for him. And he would always have a topic and always have it where they were going to discuss different things. And we've got about 9 different things that Maury had on a personal level that he shares in some of the YouTubes and things like that. And I think we really can kind of, you know, elaborate on them and talk about it. But just some of the things, you know, one thing about Maury was he was an atheist until he wound up having this disease. And it was something that really gave him a chance to really reflect on his life and just say, well, I could maybe choose a different way of looking at life, have a different perspective than what I've been really limiting myself pretty much all of my life. And by the time he died, he really believed in a higher power. He believed that, you know, we were all connected and that that connection was more important than anything, you know, no matter what was going on. So as we kind of go through all the different points, we can really be talking about that too, you know, because he said, you know, don't let, he said one of his quotes is, don't let go too soon and don't hang on for too long. It's one of his things, but I think that's a really good saying for life when it comes to being able to, you know, how I look at life about, you know, being able to move from thing to thing and just to just the different phases of my life, you know, knowing when to let go and when to be able to hang on and know what's important. So I think it's just really, really interesting with that. So is there anything in particular before we dive in on this, Amy, that you wanted to share?
Well, again, I guess for me, there's wisdom in here, and so know that, and you could do that course of work if you wanted to. Like I said, whether we do you can do it as a virtual book club offering or you do it yourself, I highly recommend you do it. The wisdom is really important, certainly, that you get out of the book, but for me, it was really observing this amazing relationship and observing Maury's love of life, his love of people, his love of learning, and how to be in true connection with another person. And it's really beautiful. And I don't think you haven't read it through, have you, Robin? I recommend
it. No, I kind of looked at it, but I didn't reread it. Mm-hmm.
Look at it as like you're in that room with them in that conversation. And I think it'll open up things for you to see things in a different light, which I'd love to talk to you about as you read that. So that I issue that challenge to you and to us to, you know, to grow together through this work.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, no matter where you're at with your looking at life, looking at death, I think it really helps you just from what I've been able to glean from just, you know, looking over the information and looking at the book a little bit. It just really shows you just the preciousness of every day and the connections that you have for people, because that's one thing that Maury really, really just really believed. I mean, one thing that people were just amazed with, you know, they would want to go in and visit him thinking they would do something to entertain him or make him laugh or whatever, and everybody came walking out of that, you know, his room, you know, when he was really getting close to dying, feeling like he would, you know, that they really got heard and that they were loved and that, you know, they were going to be able to solve the problems they had going on in life. So it wasn't a matter of feeling like they brightened his day, he actually brightened their day, and that he could make a difference in connecting these people with the things that really matter for people. Because one thing Maury said, the distance between life and death is not as great as we think. And I think that's true when it comes to just even change in life. When we have changes, you know, I've heard it said that, you know, death, you know, small deaths are just all the changes that we have in life, and sometimes it's hard for us to be able to let those things go so we can, you know, expand and be bigger in our experiences. So I think that's, you know, it's not something that we wait to look at, like, what will it be when I actually die? It's like, what will it be when I'm looking at these different changes in my life and having it be something that I can relish and, you know, not look back on it fondly, but while I'm in the process, have a sense of awe about things sometimes when we're just going from day to day and being able to appreciate, you know, our loved ones and all the things that we have going on, you know, especially, you know, here we are looking at the Christmas season and the holidays and really looking at, you know, just all these small little things that we take so for granted and have them be the biggest presents that we really can have in our life. It isn't necessarily what's under the tree. It's who is around me that I enjoy every day and that really make a difference in my life. And that's one thing that Maury really talked about was family. And he said, you know, you can have all the friends in the world, But it's that family that you're going to be able to count on, you know, when things are tough and you have to have somebody there to help take care of you. And knowing that they're there to be able to love you and care for you and be something more. Because he said the real success in life is that knowing that you mattered and that you were loved and that, you know, that you loved as well. And those are really the most important things. I think that's just something that, you know, we've talked before on the show, but, you know, having it being in this place of, you know, that's one thing when he wrote this book, it was really interesting because he said he went to several publishers and everybody said, nobody wants to read a book about dying. Nobody wants to read a book about, you know, this experience. So, you know, you're better off not doing anything with it. But when he wrote it, he really was doing it out of love for Maury because he wanted to help him with his expenses. So it was totally a serving thing. And it was the first time in his life that he'd ever really done anything like that because he just cared for Maury so much. And it just shows how it, you know, it really just exploded in just the way that people are being able to embrace it and take in the information and just all the wisdom that Maury had. And one thing I think it's really cool is over and over again, you know, through some of this, the different things I've seen and looking at, you know, some of the writing and stuff, a lot of people will read this with people who are dying. So I think it's really wonderful that you can have these conversations, that it opens up a conversation too, so somebody can say, well, how is that for you? Does it feel like that or is it different? You know, so I think that's just another thing that can be really wonderful for no matter where you are in life, you know, you can be looking at these different things, but how precious to be able to sit with someone and be able to share that kind of wisdom and that kind of insight. So it really gives people comfort. One of the things is Maury started to, he got really an urge to want to learn how to meditate as he got old, you know, as he started having the disease. And he learned a lot from his meditation teacher. And she shared a story that I wanted to make sure that we had on the show. It was called The Wave. And he said there was a male wave that was bubbling, you know, bobbing around in the ocean. And he realized that he was getting really close to shore and he was going to crash into the waves and he was going to die. And so he goes, you know, really anxious and started, you know, kind of freaking out about that. And this female wave comes up next to him and she notices that he's really upset. And she says, why are you so upset? And he goes, well, can't you see? We're going to crash into the shore. I'm going to die. And she said, well, no, it's not really like that. You're just going to be becoming a part of the ocean. It's like you're not, it's not just you, it's what you're a part of. And that's something that really stuck with him about the oneness of things and being able to connect with something that's bigger than you. So I think that's really some one of the most profound, you know, kind of stories that really kind of carries through the whole, you know, the writing of being having these meetings with Maury every week and what that was like. So the first one that Maury talked about was he says, don't be afraid to talk about death and your experiencing and what you've got going on with life. And I think part of that's just, you know, I think along with, you know, yes, we're talking about somebody who's going through the dying process, but I think it's just relationships in general. A lot of these things of like, you know, why do we wait to have something like this to really feel connected to people? So I think some of these, you know, suggestions are really something we could take to heart, maybe make them for things that we want to bring into the new year and having just a different way that we're you know, being with people. And I think part of this can be with ourselves too. Because if it's, you know, we want to talk about it, I think some of that can be, you know, start journaling and getting in touch with your feelings and talking to yourself about having, you know, how is that for me? You know, he says, don't hide and because the one thing that happens when you don't talk and you really kind of hide your feelings and don't share that with people is it really can diminish your self-esteem because you don't really honor your inner voice and your voice with other people and letting people know how you feel. So I wanted to see how you felt about that one, Amy.
Well, what I want to kind of throw in here, one of the things that he said that was really affected me, and I have done work in hospice, and I've worked with people, volunteers who do work in hospice, and one of the things they found, a lot of people are like, how do I die, talk to a dying person? Well, it really isn't about that. It's being with them, experiencing it with them, listening to them, having a true connection with them. And one of the things that he said, his intent in doing this work with Mitch was to prove that the word dying was not synonymous with useless or embarrassing. Part of what you're saying is like this is a phase, and even right now we're having the end of the year die, or you know that we've seen a lot of people's lives changing with the fires and the shootings and all these other things. That with the life you had before that is not going to be the life you have after that, and so things are shifting, things are changing, and then again not making it that because you're not that person that you were before, whatever these events were or this health challenge, does not make you useless or it's something to be embarrassed about. It's something you're going through. And really honoring that. And I know, you know, having done work in hospice, what I see, you walk into a room where a person is dying and people are spending more time trying to avoid them than to connect with them. They're moving plants around. They're doing, mm-hmm. you know, all kinds of other things where, yeah, I think the challenge really is, you know, this is a person and they're here until they're not here. And mm-hmm. and how do we have those conversations? And another thing that he talked about that I really love, and I want to kind of draw you into this because you something that you had us do as a family recently, he talked about having a living funeral. And what he did mm-hmm. was he brought his friends and family together to talk about what they would have shared, you know, in the funeral. And that he wanted, you know, people to really know why they were important and the events that were important. So a couple things come to mind. Do you want to talk about what you had us do at our Christmas celebration a couple Saturdays ago?
Yeah, we've had Totally Tony on a couple times on our show.
No.
And one of the things we talked on our first show, no, but it's a segue. And she did a sugar jar. And the sugar jar is, she just got inspired. She had a friend who had the father passed away. And she could tell he was really going through a hard time. And so she really wanted to send him some love notes after they had gone back to their lives and stuff. So she just got a sugar container. And then she had all of her friends that had were there for the funeral as well. Just write down a whole bunch of things that they loved about him and things that they wanted him to know about, you know, how they felt about him. And they put him on little pieces of paper and they all put him in the sugar jar. And when everything was said and done, you know, they all, you know, took off to go back to their homes and everything after the service and stuff. And they called him to let him know that they left the sugar jar. And he dumped them all out and he read them all at the same time. And he said he put them back in, and then periodically, just when he needed a hug or he needed reassurance or just to feel like, you know, he wasn't so alone, he'd go to the sugar jar and he'd pull a piece of paper out of something that somebody had read, you know, that had written for him. And I think that's such a wonderful gift. So we wound up doing that when we had our get-together for Christmas this year. I invited everybody to go ahead and write notes to each other. And, you know, there was like six pieces of paper in there, but I had extra pieces on the table. And people were just like, you know, think of somebody and, you know, write something that you want them to know and put it in their sugar jar. And it was really fun. I think everybody really appreciated it. And I went back and looked at the messages that people had written to me, and it was just, it was really wonderful to just see how people feel about you and have that something you can go back and look at. It's really powerful.
Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of times people at least may even think you know that, but a lot of times we don't. Now, for me, mm-hmm. For a birthday gift a couple of years ago, my friend Linda went to, she got a hold of my email list, and she emailed out to all these people and said, I'm writing basically a eulogy for Amy, and tell me, you know, what is it that you love about her and whatever. And it was so funny because there's a whole bunch of people I really didn't know very well. And I guess about amazing things from people who knew me and people who barely knew me, and she created this really beautiful binder with all this information, and I don't know what she called it. I call it my Love Me book, and it's just, it's mm-hmm. so amazing. Things that, you know, again, really, it was like getting my eulogy early. So that was really an amazing gift. So that's something I recommend if you want to do something, and don't wait till they're dying, but she just thought it would be a really great birthday gift, and it really was. So taking that idea and, you know, moving it to the next level.
Yeah, just to get that insight about how people feel about you, you know, just can't even know sometimes how what kind of an impact you make on other people. And I think that's just really wonderful that we need that. So number two that Maury had talked about was accepting things. And I think that's really, you know, we've talked about that on the show as well, about, you know, just really coming to terms of where I really am in life and being able to embrace it. I think one of the really powerful things that he shares is he allowed himself to grieve every day for the fact that he was going to pass away. He gave himself like 45 minutes every morning or whenever the emotion came up for him, that he would cry and get upset and just really feel what he was feeling. And then he'd say, okay, that's enough for today. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to go out and find things that I can enjoy and not, you know, just keep himself in that state. But not to deny that he had emotions in that direction as well and being able to have that. So, again, anything you want to share with that?
Yeah, we toss in a couple of things. So we have the part that has, you know, the weekly lessons, but there's also a lot of really great information getting you ready for that. And he talks about, I thought of something that Maury had told me. He said, so many people walk around with meaningless lives. They seem half asleep, even when they're busy doing things they think are important. This is because they're chasing the wrong things. The way you get meaning into your life is devote yourself to loving others, devote yourself to your community around you, and devote yourself to creating something that gives you purpose and meaning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were talking about Oprah. Oprah's having an interview with the author, and, you know, and he said that. He said, you know, what would Maury think about what's going on today? And, he said, yeah, he would have really, he was really on the fringe when it came to stuff. He never really watched a lot of TV, and he was into having, you know, people coming over and just, you know, spending time with people as opposed to engaging in movies and TV and stuff like that. So, and then when it came to donational things, it wasn't a matter of just, you know, writing a check. It was actually going out and making a difference in your community. So it was all about, you know, hands-on, you know, face-to-face and just really connecting with people. And I think that's just something that was very, very important for him.
And I think all the lessons are wonderful. And really the effect that it had on Mitch, who was a sports writer, and that was his focus. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have a relationship because he was traveling all the time. And then after, you know, this time, you know, these lessons, he really realized that he really needed to be more committed to his relationship to his brother, who he hadn't talked to in years, to his wife. And did you get a chance to watch the 20th anniversary interview with Oprah, Robin?
Yes, I did. That's a really good one on YouTube as well.
Okay, great. And so then he talked about going to Africa and helping kids from there. And mm-hmm. so he said, I never would have done any of that if I hadn't had this crash course, right, from this amazing mm-hmm. person. And his work gets to continue through this amazing book, which is in lots of schools all over the country, high schools, colleges. They use that book as a textbook.
Mm-hmm. Which is great, because he winds up getting really involved in an orphanage and really helping with the kids and things like that. And that's one of the things that, you know, he's there on a regular basis where he goes and helps the kids. And he actually took on a girl that they adopted a girl, or I think maybe it was foster care, that they knew she had a brain cancer. She had brain cancer.
Yeah.
And ended up being able to spend a couple years with her. And he said he'd never, because he was a sports writer, he'd never missed the Super Bowl. And they knew that this young girl that they were had her in her care, you know, in their care, that she was not doing well. And he opted to stay with her, and she ended up dying the next day. And if he had gone to the Super Bowl, he would have not been there when she passed. So he was so grateful that he just knew that some things were just more important than, you know, having to go to work and things like that. So, because, you know, she went a couple times. He said one time he said, oh, I have to go to work. And she said, no, your job is to carry me around and be with me. That's your job. And he goes, well, I do have a job. And she goes, no, your job is to be with me. I thought that was sweet.
Well, and I think that
priorities
of things that'll, you know, change his life. And I want to talk about, you know, after the lessons, he talked about, and Maury had passed, and it just, they said it's so beautiful how, you know, how walking through it, and I'm really excited for, you know, people who have not read it. In the conclusion, he talks about looking at a paper when he was in college that his coach, you know, had written some comments on, you know, in a very loving, encouraging way. And he sets this aside. He says, have you ever really had a teacher? One who saw you as a raw but precious thing? A jewel that with wisdom could be polished to a proud shine? If you were lucky enough to find your way to such teachers, you will always find your way back. Sometimes only in your head. Sometimes it's right alongside their beds.
Mhm. Yeah, that's wonderful.
If you haven't had that kind of teacher experience, allow yourself to have it. If you haven't been that kind of teacher, I want to encourage you to go out there and what is the course you're to teach? What is it that mm-hmm. that your purpose, you're an expert at, that you're here to share with the world? You know, one of the parts that we have is co-hosting Transformation Cafe. It's something that we're guided to do, and whether one person listens or millions listen, it's part of our calling and part of our work as mm-hmm. teachers.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just got such a privilege to be able to just, you know, look at just these wonderful
significant people that they, you know, just really want to make a difference in people's lives. And I think that's something that Maury was really, he just was wanting to be a teacher, wanting to, you know, to see the best in people and let them know what he saw as being the best. So I just think that really good. So, and I think one of the good things about Maury, Tuesdays with Maury, is it really encouraged people to really look at self-care and looking at caring for others in a different way. And we've done a couple, you know, several shows with, you know, hidden heroes and things like that too. Just some of the things that that really help to just have a voice and get to know what you really need. You know, he talked about support systems and just being able to say what you need and ask for what you need. I think that's such a good lesson for people to know that it's okay to ask for what you need and let people know, you know, here's Christmas and people are always asking you, you know, what would you like for Christmas? Well, sometimes they'd just be, I'd like your company or, you know, let's go to the movies or, you know, can we go take a walk together? Lots of times it's not the thing. It's being able to just spend time with people and just enjoy people and have a laugh. Yeah. So I think that's one of the sweet things about that. And being with people where you feel like you can really say what you really want and not feeling like you're having to, you know, I don't know, make it more contrived depending on what the situations are.
And I think a lot of times we don't know what we want until we have a dialogue. We
right.
think we know, but until you have a dialogue, like, oh, yeah, maybe it kind of looked like that, but that's not, and kind of to bring this home, Robin, and the what he wrote in the afterword, the 20th anniversary edition, and he talks about, I don't know if you've heard this story and you're searching, but here he talks about looking back at the book and its pages, and Maury talked about visiting his grave. He said when he first brought it up, I told him I'd plan on coming anyhow. He gave me a knowing grin. He says, not the way some people come, he croaked. Don't leave your car running. Get out, put down some flowers, get back in. Come when you have some time. Bring a blanket. Bring some sandwiches. Sandwiches? And talk to me about life, about your problems. You can tell me who's in the World Series. I laughed and teased him. Who lays on a blanket in the middle of the cemetery, eats sandwiches, and talks to the air? They'd arrest me, I joke. But as I grow older, I think I know why he said that and why it was so important to ensure my attendance the way a good teacher does. Deep inside, it was not dying that truly rattled Maury. It was about being forgotten. And he talks about, in the end, it turns out he didn't need to worry at all. My old professor is better known after his passing than when he was with us. So since the publication of this small book in 1997, grade schools, high schools, and colleges around the world have come to use it in their curriculums, something that would have pleased Maury immensely.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, he said that death doesn't end a relationship. It fosters the tenderness that stays inside of us. And so, you know, he says that's one thing that Mitch had talked about, you know, with Oprah. He says as he's, you know, it's been 20 years, and he said, you know, Maury talks to me more now than ever before. Because as mm-hmm. he's getting older, he's hearing the voice, he's understanding it, he's seeing situations, and he's hearing Maury about what Maury would suggest for him to be doing with different things. So he's like an angel for him, guiding him on just things to be doing in life, which is really cool.
Is there any grave sites that you need to go and bring sandwiches to, Robin?
Maybe. I don't think it's necessarily the actual gravesite. I think it's just, you know, just kind of, you know, it's like having a special place in your house where you have pictures of your loved ones who have passed, and really, you know, maybe just putting a flower there. My coworker, she wound up getting a picture of her husband's mom that was really rare because they just didn't take pictures of things like that. And she wound up getting the picture, and we put it in a nice frame, and I dressed it up a little bit. And we have this angel that Amy and I had gotten last year for Christmas, and it's like one of those lava lights, but you heat it up, and it's like a glitter thing that starts swirling. And the thing about it's really cool is my coworker has one as well, and when she put that picture down by the angel, you know, she came back to it later on in the day, and it's like all the glitter had been swirling without having it turned on. So, you know, it's like she just kind of smiles about that, thinking that, you know, it's a sign that, you know, she knows that she's being loved and thought about and appreciated in the home. I think that, you know, that's something that, you know, you always hear in movies and things like that, that, you know, that our loved ones, you know, they don't go away as long as we remember and honor them. So I think that's something to remember. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just want to really encourage everybody to, you know, just like Scrooge had to be able to look at his life and see all the things that he wanted to do for changing with the Christmas Carol. There's just this time of year being able to reflect and see the things that are passing, but yet all the wonderful things that we can be enjoying and maybe, you know, supporting those simple things in life that we know and that are basically supporting the future and have it be something that can really be relished and cherished and just enjoyed. So, and just wishing everybody the just this wonderful ending of a year and being able to be in a place of appreciation and just really celebrating the simple things of life and the connections that we have with one another. They are the most precious things.
Absolutely. And so happy holidays, whatever those holidays are for you. And we'll be back on the 9th, and we'll be talking about living your happily ever after.
There we go, with the new year. So we thank you guys, as always, for joining us. And we'll see you next year here at the cafe.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin. We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.